so fast in this day and age. And you can't keep up with it all. You know, I've talked before, it's like death by a thousand cuts. You know, what do you react to? You know, it's this and it's that, and then it's, and it's from every angle and every aspect. But I got to thinking of some things this morning. Obviously, I'm not going to continue on with Galatians, and I just kind of put this together, some thoughts, some verses this morning, and you know, I'd say it's kind of disjointed and whatever, but that's probably the way I preach anyway. I can have it as organized as I want to in the paper before me, and I go wherever anyway. I think it has to do with age, and I don't think I'm going to get any better about that either. You know, it's just going to keep getting worse until finally it'll be fixed one of these days when the Lord calls me home. But I'm willing to keep on as long as He wants me to. I thought of a title and throw something out there. Legends in Their Own Minds. You know, the not-so Supreme Court. And even I saw the Chief Justice, who has some problems of his own, but he talked about the decision and said, you know, who do we think we are? Who do we think they are? Well, they think they're pretty hot stuff. It was kind of like my buddy, I wish I'd written it down, I didn't, but Mike Tuttle had a quote from someone that talked about, you know, in America, we're a democracy, and the decisions, big decisions, are made by the majority of the people, all nine of them. And, you know, that's what we've come to. You know, we live under a tyranny and a dictatorship. People can't live as they would desire to live. I don't know how anyone would call that freedom. In Proverbs 29:2, we read, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Hardly a more appropriate verse to what we've seen the last few days. They even call those things that come down from on high, from these nine robed justices, rulings. You know, well, that makes sense. They're all rulers, I guess, you know. And it doesn't apply just to so much the Supreme Court, unfortunately. We can go to the White House, both houses of the legislature, down to our state governments. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And particularly, I think, the people of God. And in particular, the so-called ruling on sodomite marriage. Brethren, here's the truth. The Supreme Court cannot redefine marriage. God defined marriage. God established marriage. And He was quite clear what it is. In the garden, there's just one fella, and the Lord makes him a helpmeet. Genesis 2 and verse 21. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had made from taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I don't know how you can be more clear than that. What God established, what God ordained. He made the man and the woman. A man will leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. It is sickening. You hear these two guys up there talking about my guys talking about his husband. My husband back home. No, You can use all the words you want. You can't change what is. Just like these Jenner and all that other junk that's going on. You know what? He's still got an X and a Y chromosome. He's a man. You can mutilate yourself. You can redefine the world. But you cannot change that fact. Man. And you cannot change the fact what God has defined and determined and established. And it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. We got in trouble when we got government involved in it to begin with, but that's perhaps even another story. I've never been to the point, I've preached several funerals, but I've not conducted a marriage yet. And I've come to the point, sometimes I thought, well, fine, whatever the couple wants. If they want me to sign something, I'd sign it. But, I'm not going to do, I wouldn't sign anything for the state, just period. If they want a church wedding, then I'd only do it on very restricted circumstances. That's why I've not done any. I get calls all the time. People would like me to perform a wedding for them. And we talk a little bit. But anyway, I'm not going to have anything to do with the state with that, period. Recommend somebody if they think they ought to, then go out and, go have a justice of the peace perform it too and get the papers if that's what you want. That's up to them. Really, the covenant before God is the important thing. But that isn't what I'm preaching on today so much. But God defined and established marriage. And our Lord Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, reconfirmed those things. A couple different places, but we'll look at Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verse 3. The Pharisees came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? What's so difficult about that? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Our Lord Jesus Christ affirmed what had transpired in the garden. Of course, he is God. He had established it in the garden. He reaffirmed it during his earthly ministry. This is what God ordained. This is what God determined. This is what God decreed. This is God's perfect purpose. And beyond that, God determined this relationship in human matters to mean more than that. Something that's we can't even totally perhaps get our heads around. Paul talks over in Ephesians 5 about how this relationship between a husband and a wife, how marriage pictures the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church. You say, oh, it doesn't matter to you. It doesn't matter what they, man is attempting to distort and pervert the picture of the relationship of Christ and His church. Well, they can't do it in reality, but twisted minds is, yeah. Ephesians 5, I'll begin at verse 22. Paul says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave, back to the garden, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. A man and his wife. No other options, no other ways. And then Paul says this, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know, what God set forth in this relationship that he established in the garden was to picture and set forth and proclaim the relationship that Jesus Christ has with his church. Is it any wonder that the world wants to pervert it and distort it and destroy it? So-called Supreme Court has attempted to redefine that which God has established, and it cannot do that. It's done what it will, but it cannot, any more than it can change when the sun's going to come up. God's preordained that, determined that, and set that. Sometimes you wonder if those nine judges in the black robes think they could get up and decide, oh, we're going to have a sun call an hour late tomorrow. You just wonder. Passage we've looked at several times before, and I'll try not to dwell here too long, but over in Romans 1, Paul deals with this. What's going on? What we see unfolding before us. Romans 1, beginning of verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know, call good evil and call evil good. They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Look, there's a man and a woman, it's obvious to anyone that they were created one for another. It's natural. Oh, you're not supposed to say that. Somehow sodomy's not supposed to be unnatural anymore. Well, it still is. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It's made known to them. Paul's saying any idiot can look at that and tell. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No excuse for it, folks. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They ain't changed God's will. But God's ordained. Verse 20. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And again, here comes the point I've often made. Listen, this is God's judgment. They're not going to brain God. This is God's judgment. Wherefore also God gave them up to uncleanness. So, sodomy is uncleanness. That's what God says. Therefore God gave them up to uncleanness. Oh, I was reading today some doctor was going to get in trouble because he just presented the facts and the statistics about the death rates and the the unhealthy nature of gay sex. And he was just presenting the facts, but you can't present the facts, see, anymore. It's uncleanness. Before God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies. It dishonors your own body to do these things between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I don't know if I completely always understood all the implications of that verse. But see, now they say, well, it's settled. The Supreme Court did it. So I guess we're supposed to worship the Supreme Court, see? We worship the creatures. I mean, it's settled. I was reading in the paper today, Gainesville Sun, you know, the matter of gay marriage is settled. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, but man, see, they're going to worship the creature more than the Creator. We worship the Supreme Court's decision more than what God said. Well, not we. Who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Look again, vile affections. Paul isn't pulling any punches under the inspiration of the Spirit. He's saying exactly as it is, and he's saying exactly as God inspired him to say it. Amen. God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use unto that which, and there it is again, is against nature. Again, but any idiot can look at that and say, see, that's not natural. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And a little kid can be playing a little puzzle and see, well, these don't fit together, you know. But those idiots up in Washington, they can't figure that out. They can't see that. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use of that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Burned in their lusts one toward another. Men with men, like working that which is unseemly. You see those pictures in the paper, and occasionally they pop on the news, and you know, it's enough to gag a maggot. It makes you want to throw up. That's what, which is unseemly. It makes you sick. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. STDs. AIDS. All those things that are out there. That again, that doctor talks about the unhealthy nature of this thing. Picking up verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. To do those things that make no sense. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. All these things are bundled up together. And then, who knowing the judgment of God, they know what God said, they know what God ordained, it's even natural to know it. I mean, any idiot looking at it knows it. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have the pleasure in them that do them. What's that talking about? Oh, that's talking about lighting up the White House in rainbow colors the night after the Supreme Court rules upon so-called gay marriage. You all saw that, did you? The White House. You know, that was planned. You know, that took weeks. They were planned. They were waiting for that. Just the opportunity to take pleasure in them that do those things. And so they lit up the White House. I saw Obama. Somebody was in there and dared to question him, ask a hard question. And it was some sodomite too, but he didn't like what Obama was doing. I don't remember all the details on it, but he said, he told the guy, he says, "You're in my house." He wasn't in his house. He's in my house. It's the people's house. It's not Obama's house. Arrogant. I also saw, and I'm sure there's scores and scores more, but I saw an article last night, 35 businesses who were celebrating the decision. Already, you know, they had, I don't know how many bottles of Coke going from whatever the rainbow goes from, blue to red or blue to, however that works. And by the way, let me tell you, that rainbow doesn't belong to the sodomites. Any more than the word gay does. 35 businesses, you know, backing all this up, applauding it. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Brother, we're there. We're done. We are under the judgment of God. And again, some folks, Diane knows it, right, and said, "Oh, well, this doesn't have any effect on you if you're not gay. You know, it just means, well, the gays can get married now, but you don't have to marry a gay, you know. And it's not going to have any effect on your church if that's not what you believe." Hogwash. You wait and see. Won't be long. And the way things are unfolding so rapidly today, I wouldn't be surprised if it's next week. They'll be coming after us. And even then, don't decent folks have a right to a society and a culture? It's like what the Freedom from Religion Foundation is trying to do here in Levy County and say, "Well, you all can't celebrate your culture. You all can't acknowledge Christianity. You all can't do that. Because we, after all, we don't do this up in Wisconsin, so it offends us that you do it down there in Levy County." Yeah. We ought to have a right not to have to live in that. And with that. And if nothing else, as I mentioned before, assuming and hoping that there are some Christians amongst the quote lower magistrates. Now they're being required by those that would call themselves the Supreme Court, that would call themselves the supreme authority, they're required supposedly to facilitate and condone and endorse those things that are condemned of God. Places them in a pretty precarious situation. I understand that. You know, what are they going to do? Well, see, you're going to obey God or you're going to obey man? I don't know. What are you going to do? We already know. We've already saw it. And that's starting with the governors on down. And again, our governor several months back, the Supreme Court said, Florida can't do that anymore. It wasn't even the Supreme Court. It was a lower court before the Supreme Court ruled. And immediately Florida started conducting sodomite marriages. Governor didn't say, "No, we're not going to do that." He didn't even have the gumption to say, "We're not going to do it until I hear something from the Supreme Court." No, he said, "Fine, okay, we'll start doing that then, because you say you can, and you're the higher authority." Brother, there's a higher authority he's going to hear from someday. You know, who's going to take a stand? Who's going to say no? Hopefully there's some of the lower magistrates somewhere will take a stand. It's got to start somewhere. I know I won't have anything to do with it, but they don't care about me. Acts 5:27, and See the example of the apostles. And when they had brought them in, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Who's going to say that? You know, this is not a questionable area. God established marriage. He set it forth clearly in the Scriptures. Now, how can you say, well, we got to obey the Supreme Court order? Yeah, we have to obey men and not God. Any politician or magistrate that does that has no right to any respect. Has no right to being heeded on any level. In our own hearts, you know, when it does come down eventually to us. You know, now's the time to determine. Now's the time to determine. You know? Now, where is your line in the sand, as I've talked about before? And which of these hills are you prepared to die on? The time is now to purpose in your own heart that you'll not defile yourself. I'm not going to obey men. I'm going to obey God. And of course, the example we trace back to Daniel. In Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And again, the tense of the verb there indicates that was a decision that had already been made. But Daniel had purposed in his heart. He'd already determined that. Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So when the question came down the line, he didn't have to sit there and think about it and contemplate on it. He didn't have to say, well, give me some time to pray about it. He had already determined that by the grace of God and by the Word of God and by the will of God. He had already purposed in his heart that I will not defile myself. Mike Vanderbilt wrote an appropriate article. I understand. Mike's a fundamental Baptist of some sort. We wouldn't agree at every point, I suppose, but I think Mike, in many ways, you know, is on the side of the angels in what he does, and he's very perceptive about things. And I want to read this as he presented it. I don't know that I agree with every single little bit of it, but I think it's appropriate. And he wrote a post here yesterday, I guess it was. He called it the reset button. He said, Rob Dreher writes, quote, Orthodox Christians must now learn to live as exiles in our own country. And then he quotes from Mr. Dreher, who says this, though the sky is not falling, not yet anyway, but the Supreme Court ruling constitutionalizing same-sex marriage, the ground under our feet has shifted tectonically. It is hard to overstate the significance of the Obergefell decision, which was the parties involved. And the seriousness of the challenges it presents to Orthodox Christians and other social conservatives, voting Republican and other failed culture war strategies are not going to save us now. And when a Supreme Court majority is willing to invent rights out of nothing, it is impossible to have faith that the First Amendment will offer any but the barest protection to religious dissenters from gay rights orthodoxy. Indeed, Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Samuel Alito explicitly warned religious traditionalists that this decision leaves them vulnerable. Alito warns that the Obergefell, that Obergefell will be, quote, used to vilify Americans who are unwilling to assent to the new orthodoxy, and will be used to oppress the faithful by those who are determined to stamp out every vestige of dissent. That's from one of the justices. And warning to conservatives from the four dissenters could hardly be clearer or stronger. So where does that leave us? For one, we have to accept that we really are living in a culturally post-Christian nation. But I long ago stopped waving that flag, but I can't imagine how anybody could justify that anymore. I just don't know how. The fundamental norms Christians have long before been able to depend on no longer exist. To be frank, the court majority may impose on the rest of the nation a view widely shared by elites, but it is also a view shared by a majority of Americans. There will be no widespread popular resistance to Obergefell. This is the new normal. For another, LGBT activists and their fellow travelers really will be coming after social conservatives. The Supreme Court has now, in constitutional doctrine, said that homosexuality is equivalent to race. The next goal of the activists will be a long-term campaign to remove tax-exempt status from dissenting religious institutions. The more immediate goal will be the shunning and persecution of dissenters within civil society. Obergefell is a sign of the times for those with eyes to see. This isn't the view of wild-eyed prophets wearing animal skins and shouting in the deserts. It is the view of four Supreme Court justices, in effect declaring from the bench the decline and fall of the traditional American social, political, and legal order. And that ends the quote from Mr. Dreher. And Mike goes on to talk about it. And these things that we need to think about. Mike says, Dreher's solution is to accept it and pray. I'm certainly not going to gainsay the value of prayer, but the persecution of Christians, or Jews, or any other religion for that matter, in the name of political correctness can and must be resisted, even if by force of arms. These people are going to be coming at us with the naked force of state violence. Such violence can and must be resisted, and not just with prayer. I was talking with a friend on the phone just today, and he can't believe that they are so stupid as to mess with the people's fundamental religious beliefs, characterizing it as suicidal. I don't disagree. I have news for our would-be oppressors. When you come at us with state violence to seize our churches, jail our pastors, you're going to lose, because we will not make it worth your while to oppress us. And then after we've won, we're going to press the reset button. I was having this conversation with a reader the other day in reference to the firearm laws we are breaking in the various states, and he asked me what we were going to do about previous infringements, going back to GCA of 68, the Gun Control Act of 68, and the National Firearms Act of 1934. I told him when they start the shooting, we won't quit until we have pushed the reset button on the last 100 plus years of infringements. They lose it all. The Federal Reserve, fiat currency, the income tax, all the gun laws, all the nanny state fascism, the murder of innocents on demand, the tortured rendering of the Interstate Commerce Clause, the bloated federal bureaucracy, everything, everything. Our enemies will lie and say that we want to roll back the civil rights laws, put gays back in the closet, and re-enslave black folks, but that is a lie. We believe that the Constitution extends to everyone, regardless of race, creed, color, or religion, but without preferred classes. In our constitutional republic, some animals are not more equal than others. At this remove, nobody cares who diddles, who as long as they are adults and can give consent. Most of us have become convinced libertarians on the drug war as well, because it only empowers two classes of criminal gangs, the cartels and the imperial militarized federal government. So when the reset button gets pushed in the aftermath of the tyrants' attacks and their defeat, they lose it all. Everything. Every tool of our oppression. This is something they should think about before they rouse their own people to righteous anger. They will lose everything they hold most dear. Their power over us, their position, their appetite for our liberty, our property, and our lives. This is what reset means to them in the context of the civil war they are determined to have. Everything. I don't know that I agree with all his prophecies. I don't know that, you know, when the time comes, we'll prevail. But they do seem determined to push it to a shooting war. And in God's providence, I don't know what the outcome of that will be. But I think it's right for us to have the attitude that he's projected on his part, that it's not over till they've lost everything, or else, you know, they've killed us. So, you shouldn't be talking about that thing. Well, you better be thinking about them. I'm just saying, you better be thinking about them. But I just have no idea. Look, things happening at such an astounding rate. So you need to prepare yourselves. You need to prepare your loved ones. You need to purpose in your own heart that you'll not defile yourself. Paul wrote to young Timothy, but if in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. As I said earlier this morning, we can't know everything. God knows, and he's still sovereign, but we can't know everything. But we ought to be thinking of the worst possible contingency and preparing for that. And it might be worse. It's all unraveling at an astounding rate. And we may soon find out, you know, some of the questions on eschatology. Because I wouldn't be surprised if we soon see the Antichrist. If we don't, the Lord calls us out of here first. Well, that's great. But you better prepare yourself. You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Back to the question that Joshua posed. Joshua 24:15, familiar passage as well. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, you know, you're going to obey God, you're going to obey men. Frank Horst said this. We've got to obey that. It's the law of the land. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, kind of bleak in many ways, but we know the overall picture. God reigns. And even when it's difficult in the short term, God reigns and he's working his perfect will. Even when they take your Lord and Savior and nail him to a cross, God rules. Acts 4:25. By the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Well, the heathen are raging, folks. In a different sense, but they're raging. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord. Well, you know, again, this isn't the Lord's crucifixion, but these folks are gathered up together against the Lord. We already saw it's the Lord that established marriage. And they say, no, we got a better idea. We got a better way. We got a more compassionate way. Gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. But then comes the good part. For to do for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. This is God's work in His perfect will. I don't understand it, and in the short term, flesh, I don't like this stuff. But God's brought it for a purpose, for a reason. We may not understand it all. You know, there was an old Babylonian king the Lord had to teach a few things. Made him go out and eat some grass for a while. Lose his mind. When he came back to his senses, he said, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto them, What dost thou?" Now we know the truth. As we're told in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of waters, He turneth it whithersoever He will. God has a purpose in this. And we're to be faithful to His will. We're not to say, I've heard this, so many folks talk about our flag, and that's a whole other mess that's going on. And they say, well, you know, you're all lost, get over it. You're all lost. Just accept the will of God. That's the way it's supposed to be. And you know, no, we're not supposed to do that any more than we're supposed to accept what the Supreme Court said. God's told us to stand fast and against these things, to obey God and not man. Romans 19, again, Paul writes, "For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh," pretty nasty fella, enemy, persecuted, enslaved, Israel, "The Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this purpose I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth." This God even raised up these folks. Those 9 black robe judges. But that's not the end of the story. Just like Pharaoh said, "You aren't going anywhere." And when they started, he said, "I'm going to come back after you and bring you back." Well, how did that all turn out for Pharaoh? You know, as Stonewall says, duty is ours, consequences are God's. I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I know that this nation's in rebellion against God. I know that this nation's under the judgment of God. I know that this nation is ruled by unrighteous and ungodly rulers. But I know that God's working His perfect will. All I really need to know is what God has told me to do. Then I close with what the psalmist said in Psalm 37:3. He said, "Trust in the Lord and do good." Trust God and do good, or do right. Do what God told you to do. Trust in the Lord and do what He told you to do. You say, "Yeah, but look at what's happening over here. If I do that, they're going to do that." No, trust in the Lord and do good. And do what He's told you to. "So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Our trust is in the sovereign God, not in the Supreme Court. And by the grace of God, we will obey God and not men, regardless of what comes our way and who comes our way. And we'll stand for the truth and right. By His grace, and only by that alone. We can't do it in our own strength. We'd fail for sure. But I pray He give us grace and strength to do those things. Let's take our hymnals and turn to page number 149. "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us." 149. Stand as we sing this closing hymn. "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us."
"Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, much we need." Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. We are thine beloved friend, us be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, oh, now hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, you'll hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful we. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and pardon free. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to thee. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you brought our way. And Lord, even in spite of all that's transpired of recent days, we've, at least to this point, had a measure of freedom. And we can still yet today meet in peace and freedom. Lord, we know not what might be on the horizon, but we pray for the grace and the strength to stand. To say with the apostles, we ought to obey God rather than men. And Lord, your word is so clear in these matters that we discussed today. And what you've established, there's no question about it. There are no gray areas. So, Father, help us to boldly stand for your truth. In order to realize as well, as Brother Dale mentioned in his prayer, there, but for the grace of God go I. Lord, it's only your grace that's caused us to differ, but it was your grace that caused us to differ. And certainly, Lord, there was a reason and a purpose for that. And so, Lord, as the psalmist admonished us, may we trust in you and do good. Trust in you and do those things that you've called for us to do and commanded us to do. Lord, we certainly know not what the morrow may bring, but by your grace, may we have some discernment, may we have some guidance, may we, as you would have us, prepare ourselves for what may come. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can rest in your sovereignty. And in spite of what difficulties that seem to be appearing on the horizon and this country and this lifetime, to know, Lord, that You love your people with an everlasting love. And none can pluck them from your hand. Lord, thank you for the peace that the assurance of your sovereignty gives us. And again, give us, Lord, the grace to stand in the light of that sovereignty. Father, thank you for each one that's here. Lord, help us to discern aright, to judge according to righteous judgment, according to your word, and not according to the whims of men. And Lord, for what you're pleased to accomplish through your people, what you're pleased to bring upon your people, we give you all the praise and the glory. And we pray in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.